All right, welcome. This is our second attempt at a table Sunday, so you can always give us feedback and let us know how we're doing. And it's all about trying to get people around tables and get connected together. And so there are going to be questions there, and we'll deal with that later, just so you know that. And no, nobody's going to make you answer anything, right? This is church. This is not a forced place, but we'd love to have conversations with you, get to know you, and have you get to know people around the table. So one of the things we want to do when we came up with this idea is to be able to take communion like we do about every month, but to be able to pause a little bit more and focus the message and word around that time. So that's what I will be doing when we have these gatherings, just taking time and taking us back to the whole idea of why we take communion and connecting it all together. So why do we do that? Primary reason is we need to remember. We are forgetful people. And if you've ever read the Old Testament, like, well, why are there all these feasts? Why are there all these celebrations? Because God knew I better build it into the calendar because they're going to forget everything. They're going to forget things all the time. So he gives them all these instructions at Passover, and then he said, I want you to go celebrate this every year. So every year they celebrated Passover, and they went through and they remembered all those things because they tend to forget. So for all the ladies who went to women's retreat and studied all about Esther, in Esther you learn about a feast called Purim. Guess when Purim starts? Tomorrow. See, some of you already looked at your calendar and said, what's, oh, I remember that from Esther, right? And you're like, wow, look at that, isn't that cool? So they will be starting that tomorrow, and they will be celebrating that season. What went on in the book of Esther? They will actually be celebrating that tomorrow. We need to remember. And so we need to remember this is built into the rhythm of the church so that we remember, because it's what Jesus said. This is my body. Now remember, he's taking Passover. They're actually celebrating that. And so they're thinking he's just going to go through the elements of the table, and he takes one and he says, no, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance. Because he knew we were just like the Israelites and we'd forget too. We'd forget all the things that God has done for us. Central to that is Jesus dying for our sins and rising again for our salvation. We'd forget that if we didn't have ways to build it into the rhythm to be reminded of it. Let me give you a second reason. It is because unity is a very important thing, especially in a church. Unity is really important. We don't celebrate it enough. We don't celebrate the idea of oneness in Christ enough that this is a great opportunity for unity. Now, I want you to see, now in 1 Corinthians 11 is where we read so much about communion that Paul wrote for us. Look what he says right before he gets into why he wants to talk about communion. He says, for in the first place, when you come together as a church, okay, what are they doing? I hear there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. In fact, you can go all the way back to the beginning, and he says, well, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to agree together to end your divisions and be united by the same mind and purpose. And right after that, he goes into, I heard from Chloe's household. So obviously, Chloe's household is the informed group in the church, okay? And so Paul was like, okay, tell me what's going on, okay? Hey, Chloe, get your household together. I want to know what's going on in the church. And there was divisions all over the place. You know, there would be, is this perfect today because we can just celebrate this table over here? Well, I follow Paul. I just follow Paul, whatever Paul says. And someone over here goes, yeah, but I like Apollos better. He preaches shorter sermons than Paul, okay? And you got someone back here. And no, but I like that other guy, that Timothy guy. He's young. He's got some passion, right? And third group goes, we're just following Jesus. This is what we're just doing, right? Can we just follow Jesus? There's all these divisions. But I follow this person, I follow that person, and that's what's going on. He's like, whoa, 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 and know this. Come on, we ought to be in the same mind and same purpose. Around what? That's what I want to just remind us of today. In Corinth, they had a problem with unity, and I think we can fall into the same problem. Because it's real easy. It's real easy. And if we were to center our time around the table about divisions, we could have those. Hey, how'd your sports team do this year? Lousy, terrible. How about yours? We won the Super Bowl. We're the best ever, right? And we just divide over that, right? Iowa or Iowa State. I mean, that's what it'd be, right? We'd have all these divisions if we talked about that. If we talked about the weather, come on. Some of you like it cold, some of you like it hot. Those who like it cold, I don't know about you, okay? Those who like it right just in the middle. You like what's coming up because it just needs to be in the middle. I don't want it to get too hot or too cold. So we talked about that. We could divide. We could talk about all sorts of topics which we could divide. Your favorite movie, your favorite book, your all, right? We could just talk about that stuff and all divides and all makes us different. It's cool, though, to get to know other people's stories. But sometimes we just see what's different about each other. Oh, I'm so different from that person. They're older than I am, or they're younger than I am. I don't think I understand them at all. And I want you to understand this morning the biggest thing we have in common that links us together, that links the people around the table, even if you know them well or don't know them well, that bonds us together, and that's going to be really simple, Christ. What makes us one? Now, I want you to see what Jesus prayed for us. Did you ever think about that Jesus prayed for you? Oh, yeah, he's God. He prayed for everybody. No. There's actually a specific moment where he talks about us, talks about people in the future who will believe. In fact, look what he says. I am not praying only on their behalf. And this was his disciples, his followers, right? Because he was going to the cross. They were going to scatter. So I'm just not only just praying for them, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their testimony. Do you realize that's us? Because testimony after testimony through the years and scripture and all that, we have this. We have this. We are part of this group. We have believed because of the testimony, because what we found in scripture, because what they recorded for us, following Jesus, all of that. That's you and me. That's you and me. We've done that. So now we can say, okay, Jesus is praying for us. Ooh, what would Jesus pray for if he's going to pray for us? You might be surprised. I pray that we will all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. So he takes us back to a simple belief of faith. What? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triune God, three in one. And he takes us back to that. He says, do you understand we're one? And I want you to experience that type of oneness, that type of togetherness, that type of being one together. I pray that they will be in us. This is important, right? Well, how do you be one? We're in Christ. So that the world will believe that you've sent me. Do you understand? That helps belief of people who don't know who Jesus is, who aren't following him. They look and go, wow, they seem to working together. But man, there was all sorts of people at that church. There was all sorts of different groups, all sorts of different people. And they were just all this one in Christ. See, that's what they saw in their day. And Jesus knew that would be a really, really powerful thing to see all sorts of people, all sorts, what could be diversity and difference, but working as one, because that's going to foster belief. That's going to cause people to go, wow, why would they be together under this person named Jesus? Is it really that powerful? The glory you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. See, Jesus builds his church. I go back to this over and over again because I need to be reminded of it. Because I get a lot of emails that tell me I'm responsible for that, right? That's what I got to do. And prays that we will be one. So he builds it, and he prays for us that we would be one. If all the things you could pray for, oh, just pray they're happy. Just pray that, you know, everything goes great. Pray they get a good job, right? There's a great prayer. Pray they get all that they need. No, I'm just praying that they would be one. On top of everything else, Jesus prays that we would be one. So I want you to see what this looks like in one of Paul's earlier letters, that we would be one in Christ. So when he wrote his first letter, we believe, to the churches in an area called Galatia, we call the book Galatians because it's written to those believers in that area. They had problems with this because they were such a different group. And so he makes this statement to them. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Do you know why he had to do that? Because they were all dividing over these things. Okay? They had moments, you can read about this in history, where the synagogues were divided. Women over here, men over here. They had those moments. So that's why, by the way, you'll see places today that do that. Because, well, the Jews did that, maybe we should do that. Okay? So they would divide over that. They divided over some were Jews, some were Gentiles. Hey, we're the chosen people. What are you people? You know, you're just Gentiles, okay? You're nothing, right? So they divide over that. They would divide because in their own group are people who are free and people who are slaves. And this is the only place they'd ever be seen together, was at church. So there's all these different groups. And Paul says, I know you think your identity is you're a Gentile, you're a Jew. I know you think you're male, I'm male, I'm female, right? And we're going to divide the room over that. And I know you think, hey, slave or free, that's my main. No. When you come together, he goes, I want everybody in the church to understand that. You are one in Christ. That is your identity, and that is your unity. And once we get outside of that, we have all sorts of problems. But that's where we find our identity. That's who I am. I who Jesus says I am. And then I am one, and I have unity because of that. I referenced a couple weeks ago when we took communion together that we got to experience this on vacation. Didn't expect to, but got to when we walked into this Christian fellowship. It was a church plant that was taking place. And by the way, it was only the fourth time they had met since COVID started. Okay, they had all sorts of different issues why they couldn't come together, and they finally got an office building. Okay, this is in their office space that they had converted and worked on so they could worship together, because their former space they've never been allowed to use since. And it's like, oh my goodness. So they're really in the heart of we're going to try to rebuild. And I'm telling you, it was really powerful sitting in a room where nobody looks like you, except, gosh, everybody takes that cup and that bread, and we are in Christ together, and that makes us one. And I may never see a single person this side of heaven again, and I will see them there, because we are one in Christ. And it was really, really a powerful moment that to experience that and to know these are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Nope, never met them before. Met them that moment, morning for the first time, some in the room, some we didn't even get to meet, and then to take those elements together because we're one in Christ. How powerful is that? And that's why we want to do that in this type of setting, because it is so easy to think, I don't know if I have anything in common with anybody I'm sitting around the table with. We're different. We have different tastes. We have different likes. And there's lots of different ways to do that. But in Christ, we are one. If you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, this is why I tell you this all the time. If you've done that, that's why you're welcome to take communion with us. It's not about you got to join church. No. You're here. You're following Jesus. We'd love you to take these elements with us and to take them and eat together, because we're one in Christ. Outside of Christ, man, there's all sorts of different ways to divide. There's all sorts of different things to look at. I want us to make sure we understand in Christ we're one, and that's what gives us unity. And unity, I'm telling you, has to be protected. It has to be guarded, because it's so, so easy to divide over things. Happens all the time in all sorts of different settings. We get fixated on something, and it becomes the most important thing. And, you know, I've read enough to know I don't like reading church history very often, because you find just silly reasons why there's this denomination now and that denomination. They split over this thing, and you're like, what? Really? Over that? You got to be kidding me, okay? Because it's so easy to do that. We come in, I think we need to do this, and I think we need to do that. And all of a sudden, that becomes so main, it gets above Christ, and no longer we are one in him. So, we're going to pray together. I'm going to ask Dave if he would help me. We're going to come around to all the tables, give you a cup, two cups. Bread's in the bottom one. We'll just pass those out to you. And then we will take and eat together. And as you do that, you'll be looking across the table at the people you are sitting with. You are one in Christ. And I want you to understand the power of that unity and that togetherness. So let's pray, and then we will be passing out elements to you, and then we will take and eat together. Dear Heavenly Father, would you help us in this moment as we take these two cups that we've done several times. We're like, oh yeah, it's that time again? Didn't we just do this? It's so easy to just think that. And it just becomes so ritualistic that we lose what it means. It no longer becomes about remembering. It no longer becomes about unity. We just, it must be that time again. I pray in these moments we'd remember. You died in our place and rose for our salvation, and we've put our trust in you, and that's what makes us one. That's what makes us able to take the cup and the bread. Not because we're perfect people, but because we have trusted in the perfect God who provided the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So we take the cup and the bread, and we look around, and we see other people doing that, and we take and eat together. What a powerful moment of unity. And so I pray for the cup and the bread as we take it together. We would understand what binds us together. Jesus is you. Your death, your resurrection, the building of your church here in this city that we get to be a part of. We thank you. May you work in these moments as we pass these out and then as we take and eat together. We do all to celebrate you, who you are, and what you are doing in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.